Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, this is Bob Dacey once again substituting for Alex Jones. Seems like I'm making a habit of this lately. This is about the fifth time I've done this in the last few months, and I'm very, very honored to do it. You know, I think that the fact that Alex trusts me to sit here in his Central Texas Command Center every once in a while and do my thing, to me that is a tremendous honor. I don't get, you know, my TV show, I only get to talk to a few thousand people. And sitting here at this microphone, I get to talk to a couple of million, so I think it's a pretty good deal. And I want to thank Alex for giving me the opportunity to do that. Okay, we're talking about this local issue, which is really a test case for the nation, about tolling highways, making you pay for roads you already paid for. Pretty soon there's going to be a meeting here in Austin of the CAMPO board, and these guys are going to be meeting on Monday. And it's going to be great. They're going to have a public meeting, and everybody's going to come. And I would like to talk to them. And let me just tell you what I want to tell this board that's thinking about tolling existing highways. I want to talk about the big picture. What I've been talking about with you. I want to focus international and national attention on this local thing, so these people will have the heat on them. That's the point. That they can't get away with this, that they've got no excuse for thinking that they didn't know what they were doing, that they're just going along to get along, and they didn't realize that what they're doing is empowering this Trans-Texas Corridor, is funding this Trans-Texas Corridor by voting to toll local roads. So the TxDOT is free to spend its money elsewhere. So you give them the big picture, you know, you tell them about the Rockefellers and their friends behind all this tolling. You let them know about the North American Union, the building of North American community, the fact that they're trying to merge the country, and this is mainstream news now. It's no conspiracy theory. It's mainstream news, completely documentable. That's bye-bye United States of America. And you understand, you have to explain to them that this infrastructure project, Highway 130 east of Austin, is part of the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is the main start of the NAFTA Superhighway, which is a spider web of priority corridors that is going to ensnare the whole area. And they've already started the process. The law's already in place to toll the interstates. H.R. 3, Section 1604, passed in the 2005 legislature at the federal level. And, of course, another thing I want to let them know is that Department of TxDOT is a participant in the North American Public-Private Partnership Conference that they held just a few months ago at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City. Now, they sent a representative up there, James Bass from the Texas Department of Transportation, to explain to foreign investors how to confiscate paid-for American infrastructure. That's what I said. PPP, North American PPP 2006. I'm looking at their little advertising brochure. Realize the potential. Be a part of this exciting new industry as it takes off in North America. The Infrastructure Finance Conference. TxDOT is up there, you know, explaining, well, hey, foreign investors, you know, tell you what, this is how you confiscate existing highways and bridges and tunnels, and you force people to pay for what they already own, and then you transfer the money that they give to you over to you guys. You can take it over to Spain or Australia or wherever the heck you're going. I mean, literally, this is going on right now. There is no doubt about it. There's no question about it at all. So that's what we want to talk to about TxDOT and all that and the CAMPO board. And hopefully we're going to put some international pressure on them. When we get back, though, we're going to change gears. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts right after this break. This is Bob Dacey for Alex Jones on the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids.
Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Once again, the canned announcer has it wrong. This is Bob Dacey, substituting for Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show here on this 18th of January, 2007. In this segment for the next hour, we have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on. Dr. Roberts, this guy is an interesting guy. I've never met him. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. I've never talked to him. However, I do know something about him. He's an economist, and he's a nationally syndicated columnist for Creators Syndicate. He was once the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during the Reagan administration. I believe he had something to do with supply-side economics, and he's the former editor, columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Scripps Hour News Service. Now, you're thinking about this guy some lightweight, right? No, I don't think so. According to his biography, in 1992, he received the Warren Brooks Award for Excellence in Journalism, and in 93... the Forbes Media Guide ranked him as one of the top seven journalists in the United States of America. Dr. Roberts, welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you, Joe.
Bob.
Bob, I'm sorry, Bob.
That's all right.
I was just talking to Joe. I'm sorry.
You were just talking to Joe. Yeah, my name's Bob Dacey. I'm local TV show host here in Austin, Texas. I have a show called The Simple Truth that I've been on the air for 8 years, and I've known Alex for about 9 years. And, gee, he must trust me or something because I'm sitting in front of his microphone.
I'm sure he trusts you, Bob.
So, I was kind of informally told I was going to be talking to you right now. So what I would like to do, I want to go through some of the things you've said in the past and just get you to comment on them, if you will, and eventually we'll get into some of this newest stuff. Can you stay for the whole hour?
I can stay till about 10 minutes to 1.
Till about 10 minutes to 1. Okay, well, that's what we'll do then. That's what we do then. According to your bio, you wrote an article calling for Bush's impeachment. Why did you do that?
Well, I've called for it more than once.
Well, this was about the Downing Street memo.
The which one?
Oh, the Downing Street memo.
Well, that was a long time ago, but I called for it two or three times since then, including this week.
Why do you think our illustrious, imperious leader needs to be impeached?
Well, he needs to be impeached for a lot of things, but the one you're talking about, I call for it because we then had absolute total proof from a top-secret British document for eyes-only cabinet members that the head of the of the British intelligence had been to Washington, and he came back and told them that the decision had already been made to attack Iran and that the intelligence was being fixed around the policy.
That was Iraq, right?
Iraq.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But they were, it was all being contrived to justify a decision they'd already made, and they were still pretending that they might need to attack it if he has weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah.
Yeah, but what about Colin Powell before the UN?
Yes, Colin Powell later went to the UN with the falsified information that the Bush administration had given him.
Yeah, my favorite one was the balloon inflators.
But what this, if you don't know about the Downing Street memo, it's a stunning thing. It was a top-secret memo only for the British cabinet, only for Tony Blair and his top ministers, eyes only, and it's a direct statements from the head of British intelligence who had just come back from Washington, where he had learned from talking to his American counterparts that the United States government had already made a decision to invade Iraq, and if that decision was independent of whether they had any weapons or any other things, and that we were, and that the Americans were fabricating whatever evidence they needed to justify a decision they had already
made. Okay, so the bottom line in English there is that President Bush lied to get us into a war.
That's exactly it.
You actually think that's an impeachable offense, to lie to get us into a war?
Oh, yeah. Of course, it's an impeachable.
Yeah, I think
not only that, but an aggressive invasion is also a war crime under the Nuremberg Standard that we established ourselves when we tried the Germans after World War II. So, when the President of the United States commits a war crime, that is also an impeachable offense. So, you had two major, probably the two greatest reasons that you could have to impeach a president.
I remember that before the war started, Scott Ritter, the chief weapons inspector, had been in Iraq for years after the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
He had a press conference in Washington. It was televised, not everywhere, obviously, but it was probably on C-SPAN and a few other outlets, that he was saying, listen, these guys don't have any weapons of mass destruction. Period. They don't have any. If they did, I'd be in favor of going there and getting them, but they just flat don't have it. I mean, it wasn't exactly a mistake, was it?
No, it wasn't a mistake. And of course, for Scott Rudd saying that, they went to work on him and smeared him and smeared him and smeared him, and they used all the TV people to do that for them. So, no, they didn't make a mistake. It wasn't. They knew, if the head of British intelligence tells the British cabinet, I've just come back from Washington and they've told me that they don't care if the guy's got any weapons or not, they're not really interested in that, they've already decided to attack him, but they're making up this so they have an excuse. I mean, you don't have any more proof. What other proof could you need? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got, that is a tremendous amount of proof. As a matter of fact, it's a smoking gun. However, it doesn't stand alone. There are so much more.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. That's right. The weapons inspectors themselves said they couldn't find any weapons.
Yeah, but Rumsfeld said they had them. He said he knew exactly where they were, remember?
That's right, and we heard about mushroom clouds.
Basically, we were tricked into a war where over 3,000 Americans have been killed, 20,000 or so have been wounded and maimed and screwed up.
Yeah.
And who knows how many Iraqis. I think they think the Iraqis are like vegetables or something like that. Like, they don't care how many of them. I mean, I've heard estimates as low as 100,000 and as high as 600,000 Iraqis have died because of this war.
Almost entirely civilians, women and kids.
Yeah, women, mostly civilians, because there's no, it's not like Napoleon and, you know, out there on the field with our troops versus their troops shooting each other and counting who's dead. I mean, there is no army in Iraq that we're opposing. It's a bunch of, we call them insurgents, don't we?
Yeah, Bush calls them terrorists.
Yeah, they're terrorists. Yeah, I guess they're terrorists.
They are, I suppose, guerrilla insurgents.
I wonder what would
our occupation. So
I wonder what we would be called if there was a giant Iraqi army in our country.
Freedom fighters.
Oh, okay. So there's a little semantic problem there. I don't know. There's another view you took that was somewhat radical, if you talk about mainstream media, that you were talking about September 11th attacks, saying that there was a large energy deficit in the official account of the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings. And I was wondering if you could just kind of go over what you mean by energy deficit and what you were trying to say there.
Oh, okay. Well, I was my undergraduate degree was from Georgia Tech, and of course that's a science and engineering school, and it's very simple. The two World Trade Center towers, which just sort of suddenly collapsed, those towers comprise a certain amount of gravitational energy. That is just should the support systems fail, there's a certain amount of gravitational energy that would bring those buildings down. And what could cause the collapse of the massive steel structures, they had 47 central steel columns, and what could not only cause that collapse, but to cause it to occur at just about free fall speed, that is, the speed that if you dropped, say, a steel ball bearing off the top, the time it would take to hit the ground, the buildings fell. And what could cause it to pulverize all that concrete, because when the buildings collapsed, we didn't see a great high pile of concrete slabs there. There was no slabs. It was all pulverized into fine dust. So where could the energy have come from to do all of that? And we know what the gravitational energy in the buildings that can be calculated, and it's nowhere near enough to account for the collapse at near free fall speed and the pulverization.
And so what is?
So it has to be some other source to have caused that. And people say, well, let's add in the plane that hit it and the isolated smothered fires that burned in one case for less than an hour in a few limited areas. And you add that in, and that doesn't do much to the energy deficit. And so there has to be some other source of energy. What is it? We don't know. No one's examined this problem, no one officially. And all the witnesses, the eyewitnesses say, they heard a series of explosions. Boom, 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 boom. Massive explosions in the basement.
All right, Dr. Roberts, we're going to be back with you talking about this subject after the break. This is Bob Dacey for Alex Jones on Genesis Communications Radio Network. Back in a few.
Our terrorist cells are prime terror targets located near you. Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Have you ever wondered what former President George Herbert Walker Bush meant in 1990 by saying the Desert Storm War was a good chance to start the New World Order? The New World Order would cause us to lose our freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution and also our national sovereignty. Is this what Americans want? To be merged into a communist-style one-world government? We'd like to help you to understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your order for a one-year free subscription to Newswatch Magazine.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
I found this company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Bob Basie back for the Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show, talking with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. We were talking about World Trade Center collapse. I think we pretty much covered that. You know darn well that something else happened at the World Trade Center to cause those buildings to collapse. And of course, you know, we didn't even get into Building Number 7, which of course is the biggest glaring boo boo that they made that day. No plane hit that building, and it fell at basically free fall speed, too. Dr. Roberts, I want to get back to something you said earlier about impeaching the president. You have a recent article from LouRockwell.com entitled U.S. Hypocrisy Reaches All-Time High, and it's about U.S. Army Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Can you give us a little synopsis of what your position is on what that Lieutenant Aaron Watada is doing, what he's doing, and why?
I'll be glad to. First, Bob, let me say that one of the reasons people don't know anything about 9/11 is that the scientific and engineering community, it can't afford to say what they think. There's hardly a physicist anywhere in the United States, certainly not in universities, whose career is not dependent on government grants. And so if they come up and say that the government story is a load of crap, they've ended their careers.
Yeah, Stephen Jones would be an example.
Jones is an example. See, the federal government forced BYU to retire him early, or they would cut off federal funding for the university. Now, you also have the same problem with engineering firms. An engineering firm, many of them are dependent on government contracts, and all the rest of them are dependent on people's opinion of them. And if you've got the population brainwashed into thinking that a handful of Arabs ran planes, light aluminum planes, and these structures and knocked them down, and an engineering firm says, well, this couldn't have happened, it's not scientifically possible, and everybody thinks, oh, he's a traitor, he's on the side of the terrorists, and that goes your business. So this is the reason they get away with it. Now, to get to Lieutenant Watada, what this officer concluded, and I think he's correct, is that under the Nuremberg Standard, the war crimes tribunals that were used to sentence Germans to death, he cannot order his troops into a combat in Iraq when the war itself is a war crime and is illegal. And if he does that, he then is complicit and would be guilty under the Nuremberg Standard. I don't think the lieutenant expects that if he were to do that, he would actually find himself in a war crime trial. I think he's doing it, he's sacrificing himself to make the point. I think he could have gone on and ordered his troops into battle, and they could have killed all these people, and he would have got away with it because Bush is getting away with it. Because we're not going to be defeated by Iraq and put on trial.
Right.
The victor gets to decide the law. And so, but he's doing it in a sincere, honest effort to make the point that this is an illegitimate war. And if every officer abided by the international law that we established in Nuremberg, there wouldn't be a war.
It kind of reminds me what the old hippies used to say back in the 60s when I was a kid during the Vietnam War. And unfortunately, I think it rings true. They used to say, hey, man, what if they gave a war and nobody came?
Right.
You know, what if the President of the United States declares an illegal war based on lies and everybody says, no, sorry, that's illegal, we're not going to do it. You know, Lieutenant Watada seems to be the reincarnation of Specialist Michael New from back in the Bosnia days, where he refused to wear a United Nations uniform. He showed up as a United States soldier, and he got bad conduct discharge because he refused to go under a UN
foreign flag. Yeah, be a mercenary under a foreign flag.
Yeah, so, you know, I got news for Lieutenant Aaron Watada. Michael New case is still going on. It's still out there. They're before the Supreme Court right now, trying to get the Supreme Court to listen to Michael New's case. And the interesting thing about Michael New is, to this day, although what happened to him was way back, 1995 or something like that? To this day, he has never been able to present his side of the case in court. You know, they've been stonewalling him for 12 years, so Lieutenant Watada, look out. Okay, well, once again, are we coming up on another break? I guess we are. After the break, we'll be back again with Dr. Paul Craig Robbins.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
All right, that's Bob Dacey back for our last segment with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and we don't need any thought control, and that's what the mainstream media seems to be lately, is nothing but thought control. We've been talking about several subjects with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I want to get into what's going on over on the other side of the world right now. Iran seems to be in the sights of our imperious leader right now. Dr. Roberts, what is going on, in your opinion, with this impending attack on Iran?
Well, Bob, what's going on is a couple of things. One is they're shifting the attention from Iraq to Iran, just like earlier they shifted the attention from Osama bin Laden to Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
second birth, same as the first?
Yeah, all of a sudden we started hearing when they were talking about 9/11, it shifted from hearing about Osama bin Laden and Afghanistan, the Taliban, to 9/11 and Saddam Hussein in Iraq. And,
yeah, and all the Bubbas thought that was the same thing.
Yeah, and weapon of mass destruction. And you still have now a significant percentage of Americans who think that Saddam Hussein is the one who attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. So what they're doing now is we've just had the president's speech about this surge in U.S. troops in Iraq. But despite this being the speech, the focus has already shifted to Iran, because you listen to Bush, you listen to Cheney, Rice, the new Defense Secretary Gates, or the National Security Advisor Hadley. What they're all talking about is Iran, 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 Iran. So in the president's speech, he has all these propagandistic statements about why we have to have these troops in Iraq and Iraq. But after you get just over halfway, Iraq disappears. And he says that succeeding in Iraq depends on addressing Iran and Syria. In other words, it doesn't depend on the surge of troops to Iraq. It depends on Iran and Syria. And then he goes on to say that Iran and Syria, or particularly Iran, are responsible for the insurgency in Iraq. And Iran is the reason that our troops are getting killed. And
you mean that has nothing to do with all the Iraqis that are irritated that were there?
That's right. It has to. So, in other words, of course, it's preposterous on its face, because the insurgency is drawn from the Iraqi Sunnis. Iran is Shiite.
Yeah, explain that. I read this article of yours, The Urge to Surge, and people, and I'm included, you know, you get these people confused, you know, Sunni, Shiite, what? So explain that, what the difference is and why.
There are two big groups that split up in the interpretation of Muhammad and Islam. And in Iraq, has a 60% Shiite population, 20% Sunni, 20% Kurd. And it was the 20% Sunni ruling Iraq under Saddam Hussein. So we went in and said, oh, well, we, and the Sunnis had always had to keep down the Shiites, because they were like the Iranians. They wanted a theocracy. You know, they wanted to be ruled by the Quran and not by a secular leader, which Saddam Hussein was. So they have that animosity. And the Shiites have not joined the insurgency, because we were insisting on democracy. They have 60% of the people. That means they will have power. So they haven't joined the insurgency. It's been drawn from the Sunnis. Well, the insurgency against us is minor in terms of what's going on now. It's mainly Sunnis and Shiites killing each other at a very high rate, several hundred a day, or either killed and wounded, injured. And the Iranians are allied with the Shia, the Shiites. They would never arm the Sunnis, because the Sunnis are spending most of their time not fighting us, but killing Shiites. So the notion that Iran has anything to do with this is absurd. And yet they're telling this lie. And then to try to give some evidence for it, the other day they went and attacked, they invaded an Iranian consulate in northern Africa, in Iraq, arrested the five Iranian officials, and claimed that they were supporting the insurgency and were involved in plots to kill Americans.
So they're stirring up
a propaganda lie. Now, why is Bush doing it? Well,
yeah, what's the end game here? I mean, you kind of wonder, well, gee, if we're going to go attack, we attacked Afghanistan, then we turned it to Iraq, we attacked Iraq, and even though they didn't have any weapons and they weren't supporting Osama, and now we're turning it to Iran. Where are we going to get these soldiers? We're running out of
it's
troops.
That's what it is, Bob. The reason they're going to attack Iran, there's several reasons. I'll give you the Bush reason, the Karl Rove reason. And that is that they've been defeated in Iraq. There's no prospect of winning there. So they're shifting the attention to Iran. What they'll do in Iran is they will bomb. They're not going to send any troops in, because, as you say, we don't have any. They'll bomb Iran. They will then announce they have wiped out Iran's nuclear weapons program. This will make them heroes. They'll say, we've saved Americans from the threat of nuclear weapons and from the threat of Iran giving nuclear weapons to terrorists. And they will declare themselves to be heroes. The media, of course, the mainstream media will fall for it. They'll all tell us how we've been saved from the mushroom cloud, because the administration will claim that their attack took out a non-existent, actually, nuclear weapons program, but Americans won't know whether it exists today.
So, now, wait, you said something. I want to make sure that the listeners heard that, because you are in agreement once again with Scott Ritter. He's written a book, I don't recall the name of it. He says that Iran's nuclear program is nothing. It's civilian, it's low grade, and that they're making up this same nonsense about Iran that they did about Iraq so they can go do the same thing again. I mean, this is insane.
Exactly. See, it's not just Scott Ritter. It's the International Atomic Energy Agency. Their inspectors, until recently, have been in there going all over everything. And the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency says we can't find any clue, any evidence whatsoever of a weapons program.
Yeah, but Fox News, you know, Fox News says, ooh, they're going to get us, you know.
Well, of course, but Fox News is a propaganda arm of the Bush administration.
Bingo.
Now, let me give you the... That's Bush's thinking. Oh, look, I'm defeated in Iraq. I can't admit it, so I'll go attack Iran, claim victory. And I'll bury my defeat in Iraq in the victory in Iran by claiming to have knocked out their nuclear weapons program. So that's the propaganda job. Now,
what does he get out of this? I know what the American people get out of this, which is nothing. But what does Bush get out of all this?
I said he gets to bury his defeat in Iraq with victory in Iran.
By murdering a bunch of people who can't hurt us.
Uh-huh, right. Now, keep in mind that the neoconservatives and the Israeli government have been pushing for an attack on Iran. And the reason they want to attack Iran is part of their planning document. It's now more than a decade old. It's available online. Anybody can go get it, the Project for the New American Century's site. And their goal is to overthrow all non-U.S. puppet governments in the Middle East in order to get rid of the Muslims that will not accept Israel's theft of Palestine and Israel's theft of the Golan Heights.
Okay, so you're saying that behind the scenes, the Israeli government is pulling a lot of the strings here.
Oh, yeah. The Israel lobby is the most powerful lobby in the United States.
I don't think you're allowed to say anything bad about Israel. I don't think that's allowed, is it?
They've used the anti-Semite charge to keep them from being criticized, but the taboo is breaking down. You had not long ago the two distinguished scholars who called attention to Israel's undue influence and control over our foreign policy. We've had now Jimmy Carter's latest book pointing out that the Israelis are the source of the problem. We had the Saudis who, toward the end of November, told our Vice President Cheney that Iran was not the source of instability in the Middle East, that Israel was. And the way I figure it, it's kind of like, every white is a racist by definition. And so every non-Zionist settler is anti-Semite by definition. So everybody is anti-Semite, so it doesn't mean anything anymore to be called one. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well,
an apologist for Israel, you're an anti-Semite. That's the way it works.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's just a name you get painted with when you say anything against Israel.
They use it to try to stop anybody from pointing out any facts.
So they make no distinction between the Israeli citizenry and the Israeli government. It's according to this theory that Israel is perfect. And
well, actually, there are a tremendous amount of Israelis are called anti-Semites. My friends in the Israeli peace movement are all said to be anti-Semites.
They just hate their own race, right?
They hate anybody who thinks anybody has a right other than Zionist settlers.
Okay, so we have the distinction between a Zionist and a Jew. There's a big difference there. You want to elaborate on that?
Most of the intelligent Israelis and the successful ones, they're prepared to live with the Palestinians. The Zionists want them, that they don't want there to be a Palestine. And so they got these policies in effect, which essentially turning Palestinians into refugees from their own country. And so they steal the land. Israel never gave up the occupied territories like they were supposed to under all the UN arrangements. And instead, they build settlements and they encroach and they take the lands and force Palestinians out.
Well, I understand that, it's happened thousands of times where a representative from the Israeli government will knock on some poor Palestinian's door and say, hey, Bubba, this house you've been living in for a couple hundred years, it's going to be gone tomorrow, so you got 24 hours to get out.
Yeah.
I think people wouldn't like that.
And, of course, they'll come in and just knock the house down, whether you're in it or out.
And even if an American peace protester is standing in the way.
Right.
Rachel Corrie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They just ran her over and killed her.
That's exactly. Now, in this country, they have tremendous media power because Clinton allowed massive media concentration in the 90s. And the Jewish people have managed to be owners and controllers of most of this empire. Plus, they have tremendous power through advertising contracts. And so editors that say anything about Israel find out from the publisher that, you know, they've just pulled out 10 million advertising contracts. Blah, blah. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody is controlled. Now, that's how this Bill Kristol got the Time magazine column the other day. I'm absolutely certain that Time magazine was promised tens of millions of dollars in advertising contracts if they would appoint Kristol a columnist. Well, now, Kristol's never been right about anything. There was a big article in the Rocky Mountain News the other day pointing out all the absurd statements he made about the Iraqi war and the outcome and how easy, blah, blah. And so the guy's been totally wrong about everything. So how does he get a column at Time? Well, somebody had to buy it for him. I'm absolutely convinced that's the way it works. I mean, I was in journalism enough to see how people use the power to advertise or threaten boycotts or whatever to control editorial policy and news reporting.
Well, under the scenario you're describing, okay, so at the behest of the Israeli government, we go ahead and attack Iran so we can overthrow one of the governments that opposes Israel. Okay, so we're still sitting in Iraq. We've nuked Iran or whatever we're going to do, bomb the snot out of them or whatever we're going to do to them. Now what? We're still stuck in Iraq. That's not going away.
Yeah, I don't know what, but you have to see, you have to get the difference between the reality and the propaganda. And the propaganda can work for the administration because they can say, we've eliminated the nuclear threat.
And I don't know. Seems like they've messed us around so many times, it just might backfire on them.
Well, we can hope it does, but then you have to say they're not smart enough to realize that in advance, and of course, for it to backfire would be great. We could finally get him impeached and maybe even hand him over to the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague.
By him, do you mean him and his whole crew?
Yeah. Well, look, it doesn't much matter. If one goes, everyone gets the message.
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, if you impeach Bush, we'll have Cheney and baloney. And you think if the president gets impeached, that Cheney won't get the message? I mean, everybody, all you got to do it is once. But I think I can't predict what the outcome will be. No one knows. The administration is betting that Iran will not retaliate militarily.
You got to be kidding.
No, because it makes a certain amount of sense that if they don't retaliate, then they are another victim of American-Israeli aggression, another Muslim victim.
Do they actually think that they're not going to retaliate?
The anger seeps throughout the Middle East until none of our puppet governments are safe. So the intermediate to long-run consequence of us attacking Iran is we lose Egypt, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, the oil emirates. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't benefit the United States.
Iran's a 5,000-year-old country like China.
Right.
They're not impatient. They're not facing 2 more years. I got 2 years to save my reputation. Iran doesn't think like that. So they can say, huh, they've attacked us. Now, what will happen? If we sink the aircraft carriers and knock out the oil in the Middle East, they may nuke us. Or they may nuke us harder. If we've already nuked, and maybe the winning strategy is just to sit here,
yeah,
and let the anger seep, because Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and our puppet there is shaky. There've been a whole bunch of assassination attempts on him. He doesn't really have the support of his own military. If he falls, then the Muslims have got the Pakistani nukes. If Egypt falls, then Israel's got another 100 million hostile people right there on its border, because we buy Israel's peace with Israel every year with foreign aid. We give so many billions of dollars every year, and Egypt, and the guy in Egypt keeps the lid on so that the hostilities toward Israel don't break out.
You're talking about just a humongous just cluster screw-up all over the whole world because of this.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be.
You can't predict what's going to happen.
That's right. In the short run, it can be a victory for Bush. Wow. If Iran doesn't react. Right.
Well, we'll see what happens. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, I want to thank you very much for coming on the Alex Jones Show. I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
Well, Bob, I enjoyed talking to you. You're a very pleasant guy to talk to. I'd like to do it again sometime.
All right. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Take care.
After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Hey ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Bob Basie, once again, back substituting for Alex Jones on this 18th of January. And at the last part of this second hour, that interview with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I'll tell you what, it seems as though these people are nuts. you know, there's got to be a reason for all of this, and it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're talking about risking Lord only knows what in the Middle East by attacking the Iranians. Makes no sense to me. I have an article here from the American Statesman on Monday. Bush, no going back in Iraq. Democrats hope to stop buildup. This is from Ben Feller of the Associated Press. Digging in for confrontation, President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney say they will not budge from sending more troops to Iraq, no matter how much Congress opposes it. Democrats remain wary of appearing unsupportive of American troops, and a defiant Cheney pointedly reminded lawmakers that Bush is commander-in-chief. And I would have to say to that, yeah, he's commander-in-chief in a war that he lied to get us into, which was not declared, which is the Constitution requires that a war be declared, hadn't done it correctly since 1941. And of course, you know, he's the commander-in-chief of a big fat lie, you know. Later on in the article it says, when asked whether he owes the Iraqi people an apology for botching the management of the war, he said, not at all. We liberated that country from a tyrant. I think the Iraqi people owe the American people a huge debt of gratitude. Can you believe that? We've gone over there, knocked the snot out of their whole country, busted up all their infrastructure, destroyed everything, killed between 100 and 650,000 of their people, mostly civilians, the vast, vast majority civilians, screwed up everything for that country, and he says, the Iraqi people owe the American people a huge debt of gratitude. Now, what has this guy been sniffing up his nose? Where do you get that kind of logic coming out of the mouth of our imperious leader? That absolutely doesn't make any sense. Which, however, does make me want to think, well, what I want to do for the rest of the show, I want to give you my take on President Bush's speech on Iraq, and we want to take some phone calls. The number is 1-800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. If you want to get involved here on the Alex Jones Show, we're going to be taking calls for the rest of the hour as I go through some of this speech that our imperious leader made the other day, telling us how glorious everything is going to be when we get the more troops in there. It's going to fix everything, isn't it? So that's what we're going to do for the rest of the hour, and it should be fun. Okay, I want to go through some of this speech. Al-Qaeda terrorists and Sunni insurgents blew up one of the holiest shrines in Shia Islam, and the result was a vicious cycle of sectarian violence that continues today. So one of President Bush's claims, of course, is that Al-Qaeda is out there and Sunnis are out there just blowing stuff up. And when we get back from the top of the hour, we're going to remind everybody of at least one case where it wasn't them. So, again, this is Bob Dacey for Alex Jones, and we'll be back after a very short break.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645. Terror.